Perfect. So, like I said, Lisa, I am super excited to be sitting down with you and getting to know a little bit more about you and your new role as the director of at the Canadian College of Health Information. And before I go on to ask you my first question, I'd like to unpack your background a little bit, if you don't mind. So, from your bio, I understand that you're held positions as the Manager of Health Information Management at Eastern Health in Newfoundland. You are also the Manager of Clinical Standards and Information at NLCHI, which is the Newfoundland and Labrador Centre for Health Information. You are now the Director of Health Information. You were the Director of Health Information Standards and Quality at Newfoundland Health Services, and now you're the Director of the Canadian College of Health Information Management.
That's
Very inspiring, very extensive. So I'd love for you, in your own words now, to tell us who you are and maybe unpack some of the roles that you've held that have led to you now becoming the director at the Canadian College.
Sure, no problem. So it's delightful to speak with you, and I always love to have folks that are out west because a lot of them either know or are honorary Newfoundlanders and Labradorians. So our spread is quite wide. So always love to chat with folks in the west. So yeah, I started my health information management journey a little bit later in life than a lot of folks do. I was in my late 30s and I was in a career that just wasn't working for me, and I needed to look for something that would work better for myself and my family. So I went and did some investigating, and this was a brand new course. HIM and HIM was a brand new course being offered at one of the local colleges here, and it sounded really interesting to me. So I got into the course, and from day one I said, this is for me. This is the type of stuff that I am interested in and I want to learn about and I want to become more involved in. And every day that I did more work within HIM, it just cemented that belief. So I am a dork, absolutely. First one to admit it. Total geek, love spreadsheets, love data. So it was a good fit from that perspective for sure. But I also like to connect with lots of other folks. So that was this gives that opportunity, depending on how you take the pathway. So much like, unlike many of the other folks in health information management, my pathway was a little bit different. So I did have some leadership experience, soft skills, those types of things coming in or just coming out of school. So I actually, my first job was as a coordinator with Eastern Health, and my responsibility was to get them to submit the RHI MDS 2.0 data from all long-term care homes up to CIHI to the Continuing Care Reporting System. So there have been a number of efforts. It was almost 10 years, I believe, trying to get that data submitted. And they finally said, we need somebody who that going to focus on it, and that's what I did. And within about 6 months, we had our first home submitted. So big win there for sure. And then just shortly after that first submission, I moved into my manager at the time actually retired. So when her job was posted, I was able to get that. So it's really been a lot of timing that's worked very well for me in my favor. The opportunities have just aligned, so it's been really great. So I worked in as a manager for health information management in Eastern Health for about 4.5 years. And so I started out in the long-term care and community sector, managing health information, health records issues in that area. Another area that tends to be overlooked when it comes to HIM and records management. So I was very fortunate that the organization saw the need and filled the position. So then I moved into the manager of the coding and abstracting group. So it was managing that group as well as the long-term care community due to some budgeting issues. And so I took that role on and managed the group that were actually coding and abstracting. So that was really great. Got to get to know that very in the weeds day in and day out of our coding folks. So really a great group of people. And throughout all of my travels in those areas, I was able to really get to know how important HIM is to the health sector and how overlooked it often is, and you really don't see the importance of it until there's an issue, and that's where you end up with the spotlight being shone on it. So I've always been very passionate about advocating for HIM folks. I think it's really important for everybody in health to understand that it's not just a bunch of people with paper records down in the basement as it once was, that they're really there's some very, very talented folks who could really help with some of the problems that we see in the health system if they were only asked or invited to some of the tables. So that's that was my tenure at Eastern Health. And then an opportunity came up, another retirement. A good friend of mine, she retired from her role as the Manager of Clinical Standards and Information at NLCHI. And I was fortunate enough to get awarded that role. And in that role, I worked provincially. So when I was in Eastern Health, it was at a health authority level. And then when I moved to the center, NLCHI, we refer to it as NLCHI or the center. So that's what you'll hear me say. And I moved there and became more of a provincial scope. So all of the health records. We're very fortunate in Newfoundland and Labrador in that we've got a very small workforce relative to our geography. We're very, very large geographically, but we have a very small community of health, particular health information management. So you get to know everybody really quickly. You know, as Jeff likes to say, who's who in the zoo. And we like to, we're much more able to make those connections across the province. And so I worked very closely with the coding an abstracting management group to make sure that the standards were being adhered to for those types of areas. And then again, another retirement blessed my pathway. So my director of Health Information Standards and Quality, she retired, and we actually went through a very large change in 2018 where the center became the shared services organization for e-health for the whole province. I got in at the director level there. And then in April of 2023, the center actually amalgamated with the four health authorities to become a single health authority as NLHS. So it was a lot of transition over the last number of years. And of course, through the pandemic on top of it, but the pandemic actually showed a lot of opportunities. There were challenges that we could flip and reframe and say, this is actually an opportunity now, so let's take it and move forward. We had a lot of folks, health information management professionals, and I understand this is across the country, being pulled out of their role of coding, abstracting, and probably release of information to assist with some of the COVID information needs. So that was, you know, there was an awful lot of opportunity. And then, of course, this role came up and I applied and I was so delighted to be accepted and awarded the position because I'd worked with CHIMA and the college. Obviously, I'm a certified member since 2009. And I've worked with CHIMA when they transitioned into the chapter model back around 2014 or so. I came on as the Newfoundland Labrador chapter chair. So I worked through my tenure there 4 years as the chapter chair. Very involved, loved the work that CHIMA was doing. And then I had some other personal things happening, working on a degree and getting these transition jobs that I stepped away and wasn't really aware, and I'll be the first to admit it's my own negligence in keeping up on it, but I wasn't aware of all the amazing work that CHIMA and the college have done over the last 5 years. It's been absolutely phenomenal, and that's the part that I'm most excited about now, is that we are redefining health information management across the country, and it couldn't be more exciting. It's a fantastic opportunity. So I'm always some people don't like change, but I figure change is going to happen with or without you. You might as well be on board, and that way at least you can help steer the ship. So so that's what sort of brought me in, and I think I've talked about, you know, all of the continued commitment to the field. You probably won't find any bigger cheerleader around HIM than I am. And I think that we've got so many opportunities to provide so many benefits to the health system and the general public. So
that's amazing. As you were talking, number one, I could totally see your passion for the field. It definitely comes out in everything that, you know, you've just said. And also how all of your experiences feed into this position. And so I think for me, the interesting part of it is from the college perspective, especially for health information management professionals. And what I mean by that is when we think of healthcare, and so I'm a nurse by background, you automatically assume that, yes, as a nurse, you have a college that you're responsible and you're registered to. Physicians, the same thing. They have the College of Physicians and Surgeons, and the same with other allied sort of health professionals.
Sure.
It's been interesting for me in having these conversations and interviewing a lot of the certified health information management professionals that there has been a certification body, because honestly, it didn't even occur to me that there was. And you're right, health information management professionals, and I've said this actually in most of my interviews, they're sort of like the quiet cousin in the background that does the most work. And so from a college level, you know, what, let me step back a little bit here. What made you make the flip from operations to education? I guess that's the first piece of the question.
Sure. So when I transitioned from management, which is operations, to director, it was primarily strategic, although I got pulled into operations an awful lot. But when I moved into that strategic part of the healthcare system, it really opened up for me that there are such big opportunities from a strategy perspective. We've all known that across Canada, particularly in our more rural areas, that we don't have well-trained people. We have our HIMs, we've got a very small workforce, and then we've got a whole pile of other health workforce that don't really understand data. They don't understand health information management. And not for fault, but just because they're, most of the time, they put hands on people, and that's what they're concerned about, and that's what they should be concerned about, absolutely. So the opportunities from the college perspective is around building that competency in all of health, and truly more than health. You know, one of the things that we're working on in Newfoundland and Labrador is social determinants of health data, and marrying that with the health data to get a better picture, because, you know, as one of my colleagues says, 90% of health is impacted by things that aren't health. It's your gender, it's your education level, it's your ability to have clean water and secure housing and food insecurity and all of those things. So we need to stop thinking about health and health information management as sick care, which is really what we tend to focus on, and really look at that more holistic picture. And I think people are starting to see that. So we're starting to see a lot of digital transformation. We're starting to see a lot of, you know, KPIs and people focusing on performance, but they don't understand that how the data that feeds those performance indicators is collected, if there's any caveats around it, if there's any interpretation issues with the data. So that's where I think the opportunity is with, from a college perspective, is to work with our industry partners, which is where I come from. So I've got quite a few networking opportunities I can pull on there to understand what it is they need in their health workforce, and then build up the college to even more so than it already has. And what's been done is absolutely phenomenal. But to get us to a point where people recognize, oh, I need to do something around, you know, like IBM, if they need to do something around computers, you typically should go look into IBM. If they need to do something around health information management or anything around data or literacy standards, they need to come to CHEMA and the college. So, and I think just the understanding that once upon a time, we were in a place where people went to a bricks and mortar school, they went to class 9 to 5, did their time, walked out and went to work. And that's really not where we are anymore. There are certainly some of those folks that want to work, want to go to school in bricks and mortar. But there's also an enormous workforce that needs to upskill literacy in digital health. And they're working 12-hour shifts, or they're working all week and can't work on the weekends. And there's all kinds of different pathways that people would probably take. So we're much more inclusive and equitable, and we give them what they need as opposed to a one-size-fits-all. So I think those were the kind of things that when I started researching, well, I didn't have to research a whole lot about CHEMA because I've been involved for a number of years. But when I started seeing some of the new pathway, the new way that we're with the new vision that Jeff has brought in, it was very exciting to me. And I knew it was an opportunity I couldn't pass up. There's too much transformation happening here to not be involved in it. So.
That actually leads right into one of my other questions, which is about the transformation and about the, I do understand that there's new standards. There are these micro-credentials. So I'd love for you to talk to me about, you know, you said the old way, no, you didn't say the old way, the old CHEMA and now the new CHEMA. What are the differences? What do you see and what has been instrumental in pushing the profession forward a little bit in the last 5 years that you've noticed?
Well, I mean, again, I can't say I'm not a fan of COVID, but it really did change a lot of stuff. So, you know, it challenged that people would say, no, I can't do it that way. And COVID said, well, hang on a second, then you have to learn how to do it that way. So that was definitely an impetus for change, certainly. And it, again, opens up that concept of being more inclusive. And that's, I think, where we need to really start focusing on all of our different ways. We're already doing it, but there's always more inclusivity that we can bring on board and allow for more equitable. You know, Ontario has its choice of schools. Newfoundland and Labrador, up until yesterday when we announced that the College of the North Atlantic was now accredited, up until then, we haven't had a school here since about 2010. So, and in the Maritimes, there is a bit of a dearth in being able to do that. So that limited a lot of what folks could do. So along with COVID bringing the education changes and how folks deliver education, it also did the same thing for a lot of healthcare. So now understanding that there's a lot of opportunity, a lot of folks work from home if they're able to. And even if they're not able to, there's a lot more opportunity via Teams or Zoom or any of these connectivity tools. So it certainly allows a more holistic picture for staff. And then, of course, I mean, we can't forget that Canada is, in all of its provinces and territories, at different levels of transformation as well. So we need to still support the folks that are in the hospital working with a paper record. In the same way, we have to be able to be adaptive so that our standards can deal with the Humber hospitals of the world where they're 100% digitized and everything is in, there's no paper to be found. So, and everybody across the country is in a different stage. So the huge benefit that I see to the way that we're handling the standards now and the micro-credentials and making education stackable as opposed to block learning, all of those things benefit the transformation as it happens. So, you know, your education program still has to teach something about paper records because you never know where that student might land. But it's also going to teach all of those wonderful things around interoperability and how our systems can connect to each other and single patient records and all of those wonderful things that are coming down the pipes at us. And the other thing it does is it sort of takes us out of the strictly hospital acute care system. It's still a large focus, absolutely, because you'll never have hospitals go away. But there's community-based folks now that are looking for education. There's private physicians that would benefit hugely from having well-trained and certified workforce. You have all kinds of outside of health. I think we're seeing programs or opportunities in police forces and justice bodies, veterinarians, still health, but it's health of our furry friends. There's a lot of places where it can be applied, and that's the beauty of it now, is it's a much more applicable model that you can sort of pick and choose, or you can stack it up, and you can actually see a career progression for yourself as well. So you might have a degree, and you can come in and add on a program from a college or a university, a degree issuing university, and get that health information management. You're probably never going to code an abstract your records, but you're going to have that health data literacy that's so important, particularly now with the way that we're moving towards digital. And, you know, that was one of the things COVID showed us as well, is that data is not as good as we thought it was. There's really big gaps in the data, and we don't have a lot of interoperability between systems, so there's an awful lot of silos. So, you know, making sure that we've got credible, certified folks that build public trust. You know, you wouldn't want a nurse to be caring for you if they weren't, an RN or a BN, or they had some kind of certification. And to say, yes, this person should be taking care of you. Same with your data. I mean, your data is very, very important. It's probably one of the most important assets that a health system has, and it needs to start being treated that way. So, and it's a patient safety concern as well. So if you don't have good data, you can really hurt people. So, it's really, really important that people understand that.
I love the way that you said that, and it sort of sparked a question. You know, you talked about data literacy. And so, I mean, I went to school many, many moons ago, and, you know, the things that we learned were mostly about charting. Do you think that in the health profession as a whole, that data literacy is something that, and this may be my ignorance because obviously I haven't been back to school in a long time, but do you think that this is something that should be incorporated at some level within, you know, a basic program?
Absolutely, yeah. I think there's a lot of opportunities for incorporating, improving programs that exist with our standards, as well as upskilling folks like yourself who may have been out of the system for a really long time and want to go back to do, in-person care or work in informatics or in digital health or analytics. You know, there's all kinds of opportunities because there's so much need to make decisions that are evidence-based. And if you don't have good quality data that you understand how it was collected and any issues that may be there, what it does do and what it doesn't do. If you don't have that from the get-go, then you're opening up risk to the organization for making poor decisions based on poor data. So people really don't think they get it, but I think they're starting to. And again, that's a symptom of COVID, is that it really did shine the light that there's so much data out there that even the way that we the royal we in Canada, the provinces and territories defined COVID positive, how they were going to collect that. the variation, even within a province, sometimes was challenging. So, you know, it's those not having those standards that help you to understand the basic definition. Everybody's talking the same language. That's where you get the benefit. So, and I think as we transition, particularly in places where they're really focusing on a digital transformation. Some places are a little further along than others, but I think everybody is trying to get to a better place with it. Then we need nurses coming out and doctors coming out who understand that they're not going to be charting on paper. It's not going to be the way that they do their work. It could be, but it would likely be only for a short time until that jurisdiction gets up to speed with everybody else. So again, resourcing is always going to be an issue, because all of these changes are expensive for sure for the health system. But, you know, I'm a firm believer that well-managed data actually saves you money. So it saves, not only saves money, but it stops waste. So those are the two things that hospitals hate to see is wasting money, actually spending more than they have. So information, that's where the asset of information really comes in.
Well, and I also think it's like what you said, data drives basically everything. Like it drives the policy decision. It drives, at a hospital level, it drives the decisions that are made day to day, right? Whether we're admitting this patient to this bed or are we admitting this patient to that bed. And I think a
Exactly.
lot of people don't understand that nuance.
That's So by building our standards in the way that we have, we've made it so that clinicians can come back. They can do micro-credentialing to get, you know, improved skills in that. And working with the universities and the colleges across the country so that the folks coming out already have that literacy. So it's really a win-win. And we saw that this week here in Newfoundland and Labrador when Jeff visited. We met with both the industry, government, well, all three actually, industry, government, and the education partners. And it was amazing to bridge that gap because government has a little bit of a different need than the industry health authority does. And of course, education has the academic partners, they've got a different path they have to go. But at the end of the day, they're all working to support the same thing, which is the people of the province. So, you know, we need to make sure that that's understood and that all of this works towards improving data and improving digital literacy, health data literacy. And, you know, the more that we can do that, the better then our workforce can educate the public as they may need to be educated. So, even understanding a different way of asking a patient what's wrong with them could potentially help the physician because they may understand that a 20-something person is probably going to share their information a little bit differently than somebody who's in their 70s. So it's understanding that as well. And again, you know, we have whole opportunities for nursing programs to learn about some of the standards. And because we build things like ethics, which they already do in nursing, but it builds ethics and equity and inclusion, diversity, all of those concepts throughout the standards and make sure that it's actually embedded in their programs. Then we have a more compassionate, qualified healthcare workforce coming out, understanding that it's no longer appropriate to ask somebody if they're man or woman or male or female because it's broader than that. And, you know, we're getting into more societal change. People are more interested in providing information that supports their care, not necessarily what was on their birth certificate back in the day. So, you know, it's understanding those things. And of course, our standards are so, sorry, my dogs are going to start barking. The standards are so adaptable and easily added to that It's really just a matter of the college or a university that's been using our standard to tweak the program here or give it a little add-on here, add a course, add content to an existing course already. So they're a lot more accessible to you. You don't have to build curriculum from ground up. So that's another significant benefit around transformation. So.
I think one of the things that I've seen, at least here in Alberta, is the ability to access my own health record. Whereas previously, it was sort of like the hospital was the keeper of this health record, and whatever tests you've had, it was sort of like a secret. But I think, you know, from a patient perspective, it's nice to go. I have a health background, but even if I was a lay person, it's nice to go in to be like, oh, here are my blood results. Here's my X-ray results. You know, yes, I still have to have that connection and that conversation with my physician about what it means, but it's nice to see it, right? And it's not this elusive thing that gets lost in the background.
That's right. And if you can see it before you meet with your care provider, you have a little bit more opportunity because we have a lot of folks who have white coat syndrome. Right? So they go in and they see the physician or they see the nurse practitioner, and all of a sudden they're like, I forget what I was going to ask you, right? So, or they're hearing this information for the first time and is overwhelming to them. So having the information available for you to review and for your clinician to review with you, that's such a great way to also build a relationship with your care provider, which a lot of folks, some do, some have been rostered on the same physician for millennia, and others like myself, my doctor had the nerve to retire, so I had to find a new provider. So, you know, you have to get back to that relationship that you have with your primary care provider. And that's presuming, of course, that you have a primary care provider and not whichever one you can touch in the system. So so there's definitely value in giving people access to their information. There's also safety involved with that. So if my physician wanted to send off a referral to a specialist for follow-up, I have no idea in the old world where that might be. That could be sitting on somebody's fax machine that gets shredded at the end of the night. It could be it never got faxed. There's all kinds of patient safety. And then, of course, if you delay your investigation, you can often impact the outcome. And that's in a very negative way, which, again, we saw that was a negative from COVID, where people couldn't get treatment in the time they needed it. So definitely patient safety. And again, with the interoperability of having your information available to you and to your doctor or your primary care provider and the hospital, there's a lot less chance that something's going to fall through the cracks. And we certainly have all kinds of reference material around situations where people were actually harmed because of information not getting where it needed to go. So I think that the more that we can provide folks, I know that some people don't want to give people access to everything, because there is some context involved, and there are times when more information can actually harm the patient if they don't understand it properly or they don't have an appropriate way to talk about some of the results. So, but if we're thoughtful about the development of those things, and we make sure that as we're providing these types of tools to folks, that we understand all of the underpinning standards that helped get us here, and help them work on literacy. So, you know, there's things in curriculum that can be, you can send somebody to Health Canada and say, have a look on there about health data literacy. It'll give you some idea about it. Or, you know, go to the you know, be careful with Google Doc. But, you know, there are some reputable health information, more broad knowledge. So if you don't know what a typical A1C result should be, that's at your fingertips, right? So it's just a matter of letting people understand that if they do have questions around it, well, review it before you go to your doc and and then they have access to that information. So I'm fully supportive of patients being able to see their information for sure. As our privacy commissioner says, privacy is not about locking information away. It's about providing appropriate access. And that's really what we need to do. And appropriate access includes providing it to the person about whom the data is. So it's really important, I think. So.
Thank you. What is the mission, mandate, and vision of the college?
Oh my goodness, you're going to test me on it?
I don't need it verbatim.
Oh, okay.
Just
yes.
Sort of, you know, what direction are you?
Where are we going in the future?
Yes,
sure. Yes.
Absolutely.
So, you know, our vision, I guess, would definitely be the same that is on our website. You could see it there for sure. But it's really around ensuring that we have standards and certification that allow for public trust in health information and other information, not just health anymore, and data literacy, so that we can make sure that our systems are being supported and built in a better way. So that's really, I think, where it kind of goes. Not verbatim, but pretty much a sort of synopsis of what we're doing with the college. But you know, we've had our certifications recently fully endorsed by the Canadian Health Institute for Health Information and Canada Health InfoWay, which are two huge partners in Canada. That you know, one side is all about data, the other side is about interoperability standards and some data as well. In my previous roles, I worked with both very closely, so I was very fortunate to be able to sit on a number of national tables that were to talk about a lot of these things that were needed. So I do have a sort of an understanding of the industry side and the things that are needed to support ongoing data needs and literacy in the country. But I think from you can't quite get it from the website or from our just by Googling on it. I think our vision really is the important part. It's really around equitable and inclusive educational standards that can be utilized in a way that's stackable for people and where they can get on and get off where they need to. So some folks might want, they may have a nursing degree, and they want to go into data quality, but they don't really understand all of that around it. So look at the HIM standards that we have. We've got a whole focus area, area of practice on data quality. So perhaps there's a way for us to support that nurse with that education program in one of our partners. Maybe they want the whole thing. They want to know about data quality, data interoperability, because it is all part of information governance and it all ties together. So it's really important to understand privacy and the technology parts of it. So our practice areas are really very, they're much less prescriptive, and they allow our education partners to say, we teach that, but we don't quite teach it exactly as that is. So let's update it with these few little additional pieces, and all of a sudden you've got a program that's fully compliant with our standards already. So, so in some cases, yes, there are going to be schools and programs that have to build from the ground up. It's just the reality of it. But there's also lots of existing programs where people are already teaching parts of our standards, and we just need to work with them. And that's part of the academic outreach that I'll be doing in the next couple of months. And Nancy Hogan, who works with CHIMA as well, she's been phenomenal in getting lots of contacts and looking at pretty much every school across Canada and seeing if there's opportunities that exist. And we've had some really great uptake. So it's been really, really encouraging. As I said, mentioned a little bit earlier, yesterday we actually formally announced the accreditation of the College of the North Atlantic in our HICA standards, so our associate degree. And they were so excited, and they saw so much potential for the way our stackable learning is built. And so, you know, there's an entire pathway, I think, that the dean is going to look at, you know, plan to get all of these programs going. And lots of schools around doing the same thing. We had discussions with private colleges where we had the same conversations. There's more than enough need to go around. And it's just by providing this variation of different pathways that people could take and increasing the number of schools that are certified. I think we're going to add 10 this year, fiscal year will be the final number, which is absolutely incredible and inspiring to think about how much support there is in the education system. And of course, the education system really relies on industry to identify the need. They don't want to train a whole bunch of people who come out the other side and can't work anywhere. So I think it's really highlighting that there's a supply and there's a demand, and we get them working together. And it's just a it's so inspiring. And I've this week alone, I just you know, I think when we came out of one of the meetings the other day, Jeff said to me that I was basically floating. So you can see how excited I get about it. And that will probably never change. I'll always be very much in the HIM world and helping support people across Canada really understand and feel the same way I do about health information management, because it really is, it's the foundation for everything we do, from the minute the person touches the healthcare system until they stop touching the healthcare system. Data underpins everything that happens to them. So the more that we can make it secure and standardized and available, accessible to the right people, the more that we can do work to do that, the safer we're going to make it for patient, for the public, and we're going to build that public trust. They're going to say, wow, that person I know is going to understand what they have to do with my information because they've been certified and their schools they came from are accredited. So that's the end goal, I guess. And I don't think I've said anything that would be contrary to what we'll find on our goals and missions and the vision and mission and strategic goals. So really it is, you know, enhancing education opportunities and making sure that we have a really strong workforce that understands data literacy. So
basically your response answered my next question, which was on the impact that you want to make. So thank you for that.
That's an efficiency, right? Like, I'm all about finding efficiencies, even though I'm a Newfoundlander and I'll talk really fast and a lot if you let me. So I'm glad that we were able to find a bit of a synergy there.
No, that's great. And, you know, I do like how higher education is rethinking the way that they deliver their educational content, because you're right. Micro-credentials and micro-certificates are basically the way to go, especially when people are working maybe 2 and 3 jobs or working longer hours. Nobody wants to go back to school and sit in a classroom in that traditional sense.
That's
you know,
right.
People still want to acquire that knowledge, continue with lifelong learning, but they need a way to do it that fits with their life.
That's
so I think
right.
It's extremely, extremely encouraging that these micro-credentials are coming out, especially
right.
in some of the health fields that aren't always, you know, top of mind.
That's right. Yeah. So bite-sized learning, things that you can sort of pick away at. You know, our profession, health information management and healthcare overall, has a very high female population or people who identify as female. And they, regardless of how progressive we may have gotten as a society, they tend to be the caregivers for families. So, you know, that's the other side of this, is we want to make sure that we're bringing the people in a way that they can, that can be supported and help that single mom who wants to stay where she is, but get skilled up and can't necessarily, you know, take the whole day to go to a campus and you know, still have her children need to be cared for. So that's one side of it. The other side of it that we're seeing, and we've heard this over and over and over again in consultations, particularly with, well, both sides, both industry and in the education, we need to start growing the skill where people live because they're invested in their community. If you tell somebody from one of our very rural communities that they got to go to downtown Toronto to do their education, they're probably not going to come back to their very rural location after they've experienced the big city life and all the opportunities that might be out there. So, you know, if they can do it here in their local community or via distance with an accredited school, and at most of our programs now we're seeing that opportunity to do it online, or at the very least hybrid, and that opens up a whole pool of potential healthcare workforce, right? So you've got people who want to stay in their small rural community. It's economic development for their local community. It helps with, you know, engagement. You don't have people who have to travel, you know, 2 and 3 hours to commute to do school or to go to work in a lot of cases, because a lot of this is, you know, a lot of the work they'll be doing can be done remotely. So there's just so many opportunities, and I think we've hit the sweet spot in it, in our plan, because we are hearing from our industry partners and our educational partners, our academic partners, and our governments, the government bodies that are trying to manage all of this from a strategic level, that this is the way that's going to get us where we need to be. So it might not be 100% perfect, but it's certainly better than, you know, making people go back to school. And it's challenged a lot of those, you can't do that, right? So now we know we can do it. What else can we do? So that's the next step, is how can we continue on this journey and continue to provide value for our existing members, giving them opportunities to maybe build their leadership skills and build additional skills that will allow them then to move up in their career, but also people who have never thought about health information getting the same skills so that they can do their jobs better. So
that's an important piece. I think it's helping to educate the people that don't have that digital health literacy skills in the same way. I mean, I think, you know, in healthcare, you have these little snippets of things that you know, but with something as important as data, you know, that would be something that definitely should be something that, you know, healthcare professionals know a lot better than the way that they know it now. Like, I think when, you know, if I look at the way that nurses function at the bedside, we're really good with the patient record that's in front of us, right? What happens to it after? Honestly, who knows, right? So it would be great to have that trajectory of, this is the information I'm collecting, this is why I'm collecting it, this is how it's being used, and this is how it's secured. So that if a patient does ask, that you can give them a little snippet, and then maybe, you know, direct them to the professionals who could give them more of an in-depth sort of explanation. As, you know, 10 years from now, let's say you're getting ready to retire, to hand the reins over to somebody else, what impact do you want to leave with the college and with your profession?
I think to have the profession overall not only understood but acknowledged as having the expertise that we have, having that public trust, understanding that the certification does not just mean that they got a diploma so they're sitting down coding charts all day. You know, I'm a perfect example. I started my career with a diploma, and I was able to work up to a provincial director role because of the skills that I developed. And the people, thankfully, the people who were in responsibility for hiring me gave me that benefit of the doubt. So, you know, I think we need to stop thinking about whether somebody has a certain type of education and more around what have they been shown, what can they show their competencies are using these types of certifications. So I think that is one of the things I'd like to see overall from a membership perspective. From the college perspective, same sort of thing. I want us to be known. And, I mean, we already are. We're very much supported by the people who know health information. So Health Canada and Public Health Agency of Canada and, Jeff being on the Pan-Canadian Health Data Strategy, he really shone the light on a lot of this. So I think we're really starting to see people who know health data really starting to appreciate and acknowledge the value of health information management professionals. But I'd like to see the college being more well known across many other sectors. So we've got little pockets and things are starting to move in that direction. And again, it's another indication that the pathway we've chosen to do this is the right model. It's working well. And is it perfect? No, but it gives us opportunity to be a lot more flexible in getting things updated. So outside of the college, working with CHIMA, of course, we have opportunities to work with the association on the CHIMA side, with all the work they're doing with communities and attaching ourselves to some of those communities to get those expertise to help us build some standards that we may need to build in the future. So there's a full checklist of micro-credentials on my list that we're going to start making sure we have the standard, and then we need to make sure we've got academic partners out there who are willing to build or adjust their curricula to do it. But I do think that those are some of the opportunities, but my legacy, I would like to be that we've really strengthened the understanding and the acknowledgement of what health information management is and how it supports everybody in Canada and probably even beyond. So I know it's pretty
fun. I love that. No, it's great. And I love that because before I started in this role, my understanding of health information professionals, I'll be honest, was limited. You know, like patient records, patient registration, like I they were like little pockets.
That's right.
Having these conversations have definitely opened up my eyes to, holy cow, there is so much more than what my perception was.
That's right.
And I think that it traverses many different sectors, not just health. I mean, obviously health, but I think the knowledge base that, you know, these professionals obtain can be applied to many different sectors.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I would love to see the recognition of health information management professionals be on this. This is going to sound odd, and I don't mean it to sound demoralizing, but be on the same level, though, as, you know, nurses and physicians, because the breadth of knowledge is just as rewarding and enriching and valuable to the lives of Canadians.
That's right.
And the health information.
That's right. It's different. It's a different role in healthcare, but that doesn't mean that it's any lesser. Housekeepers have a vital role in healthcare. And yeah, again, I'll probably get in trouble for saying it, but they don't get paid enough, for cleaning up some of the stuff they have to clean up. So, you know, there are every person who, every part of our workforce is important and needs to be valued. Are they going to get paid the same? No, that's just the way that the world works, but they should still be valued. And the employer needs to value them. And by providing professional development, education opportunities, saying, you know, oh, look, the college has got a new micro-credential available in AI. Are there any staff that might want to look at upskilling and getting that micro-credential? So if we can get our healthcare system to sort of start showing the value as well. And it's not that they haven't. Everybody knows and everybody will say they're important. But at the same time, it's, you know, that it's showing them that you value them and that, you know, what their work is important, no matter what it is. You know, release of information is no less important than data analytics. It all serves a purpose and it all helps with the health system, and everybody needs to be valued in that way. So I think that's, you know, it kind of goes back to the equity piece, right? Like, everybody should be treated equitably, respectfully. You should never hear somebody say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. You only have a degree that like, or a diploma. Like that doesn't show respect. It doesn't show that people understand the breadth of what this expertise really is. So I'd love to see that be an outcome where everybody understands how important it is and works towards making sure that we have a workforce that's well-versed in this, right? Because, you know, otherwise it's just lip service. And, yeah, we know it's really important, but at the end of the day, the outcomes are not going to be where you need them to be. So again, a lot of, I think we need to start focusing on the outcomes and the competencies. So that's where our new standards really help with that.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me. It was a lot longer than I anticipated, but it was great conversation, and I appreciate that.
That's the Newfoundlander that talks so much, right? You know,
not at all.
It's the way it goes, but yeah. If there's anything while you're working on this post meeting today, and there's something unclear or you couldn't understand, I do try and keep my Newfoundland accent down a bit, but occasionally when I get excited, it does come out. So if there's something you didn't understand or you want me to clarify, reach out at any time. Really, I'll be as available as I can be. It's been a busy on ramp, but for sure, there's, you know, I won't leave you hanging. So,
no, that's great. And that's one of the reasons why I record, so that I do go back and listen to it, and it pulls Absolutely. Transcripts and everything. So it's really nice. I'm just going to turn off the recording for a few seconds here.